For those of you who'd like access to this content, follow the link in the description box, visit our Patreon page, and subscribe to the Black Kluge tier. For a mere $5 a month, you get access to the alternate Sunday episodes you've been missing, only available on Patreon, as well as the weekly Tuesday episodes. But wait, there's more. If you subscribe to the Black Kluge tier, you'll also get 2 weeks advance notice to our Thursday sessions. And if you needed any more incentive, when we have bonus episodes, Patreon is the place where you're going to find them. Also, don't forget to check out TeePublic for our great swag. The link is also in the aforementioned description.
No way. Howard, you're not dumb. You went to BU. You're a smart man.
To BU.
There's yeah, your credentials.
They made all the geniuses into BU. You know that I went to BU, but I went to retard BU? Like I didn't even go to the
it
real
wasn't
BU.
Even the real college?
Yeah, there's a college at Boston University for idiots. It's to milk parents who can't normally get their kids into the school. You know, I was a real idiot. Oh. And BU has a program called, it's like the Special Olympics. It was called Basic Studies. It doesn't get embarrassing than that. Like when you're trying to pick up a chick at BU and you tell her you're in basic studies, you're like, fucking loser.
Yeah.
They head for the hills. You think it was easy to get laid with this face and being in basic studies? And basic studies, the deal was, even though you're a shit student, you can't even score above 1,000 on your SATs, we're going to let you into BU, let your old man pay the freight, and you got to... For 2 years, take everything you were supposed to take in high school, but you fucked up.
So you're really in high school?
I'm in high school. I was in high school for 2 more years. Believe me, this was no college. I was studying, like, high school chemistry, you know, humanities, which was actually watching movies. And it was like retard school. And then if you passed retard school, they'd let you for the next 2 years get into, you know, like the School of Communications, where I'd study radio. I'd study fucking radio. What's the study of radio? It wasn't one professor that
so
I knew
a thing
about.
You weren't making radios.
No. If we made radios, it would have made sense. Study radio. I'm sure my old man was having a conniption. It cost him like $5,000 a year at the time, which was a lot of money for my father.
You wanted to do the Howard Stern Radio Network, which I think is a fantastic idea, but I know it has to be a tremendous undertaking. And what I was thinking...
It's not that tremendous. I can make it happen.
Well,
I'm in the middle of doing it.
With so many people now having these digital dishes and also the big satellite dishes, which we have, why couldn't you get on sort of like a paper?
Because you're missing the point. Radio...
About what we do.
Yeah, radio is primarily listened to in cars. Unless you get a satellite
We're
dish
not
on
going
your car.
Like cable radio.
Yeah, we don't want to take our step back. When I was in college, we had cable radio. They would only broadcast it into the dormitories over the phone lines. I'm not looking to take a step back. I'm a broadcaster.
Yeah, but at least that way, people that are all over the country, like us who tape the show every day, would have the option.
I don't care. I'm not looking to do a paid radio show. That's going to be the saddest day of my career when I'm going to do a paid radio show. I'd rather quit.
So 80 and 100 million a year go into your corporation. You go on Sirius, the satellite radio channel, okay? How are they going to make a profit? I mean, how many people do you think are going to go over and, what are they, like $50 for that thing, a subscription?
Is it my problem if they make a profit?
No.
Is that my worry?
No.
Welcome, everybody, to QF, a podcast about Howard Stern. I'm your host tonight, Sam. And with me is one of my favorites. I'm not going to say favorite because that would be plain favorites. I don't want to do that. But you're definitely one of my favorites. Bob.
Oh. Well, yeah, I'm in the house tonight. Thank you for that amazing intro.
Yeah, my diplomatic intro.
Glad to know I'm your not favorite.
Yeah, you are. I love your dry sense of humor. You make me laugh constantly. We were covering the Opie and Anthony Howard saga. And obviously, Bob and I were big fans of Opie and Anthony and at a time, mm-hmm. Howard Stern, which obviously we saw how they butted heads and how Opie and Anthony took his reputation to the fucking cleaners in our last episode. So we're going to continue on that pattern of audio and showing you guys exactly what happened between the two. I really appreciate all of your great feedback last episode. That was so nice. And I'm glad people who didn't listen to O&A or have the time now get to see a little bit more detail of what we were talking about and kind of get into this.
Yeah. So where we left off before was the first two pretty much like complete trashing double barrel gunshot, point blank to the face, trashing of Howard Stern.
Do you want to know what somebody wrote in the comments? They wrote ether, because that's the Nas.
Yeah.
That's the Nas retort to, who was it? Jay-Z. Yeah. Yeah. And the diss track was ether. And I thought that was so clever, because I think I said it was kind of, if you said it in a rap battle, it was called you bodied that person. Oh, these two bodied the fuck out of Howard.
Oh, yeah. They called him a snitch, a bad husband, implied his kid overdosed because he neglected her. Said his movie was some fantasy fugazi that he bullied people, like that he looked like a fag with his dog.
He acted a fucking fed, silencing people behind the scenes, but complaining with the martyrdom of free speech. Oh, you fuck.
That he was a complainer, that his show wasn't good, that Robin sucks, that his golden years are far behind him.
Yeah, so that was the ether of that saga. Now we're going to get into a little bit more, like Bob and I were talking about this, and once those kind of initial bodies were laid to rest and like all that was kind of, you know, lying in the wake of this huge verbal just abuse that was definitely warranted. Now we kind of get into an area where they're a little bit more comfortable just offhandedly talking about it, but they still bring up really good points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Howard ever really responded to any of that.
The only thing he did do was he kept calling them his copies. I know periodically he kept saying, "Oh, my copies," like he would not refer to them by name at some point, but he would say "my copies" a lot. And he did imply that he made up WOW, which was a gimmick on Opie and Anthony called Whip 'Em Out Wednesday, which is where we're going to start this.
Yeah, but I think Howard not responding to any of that really made things worse for him.
Well, it becomes, and I noticed this in news media too, like they will report a false story ad nauseum. And then when it comes out that it's false, nobody prints a retraction. Nobody gets on and says, "I'm sorry, I got that wrong." No, they just, and then you think that your viewership is going to increase and people are going to trust you more? No.
But if what they were saying wasn't correct,
right,
then he would have responded. Him not responding is just saying, yeah, what they said was right.
Well, there's been times in disc jockey, you know, radio wars where Howard, they did say correct things about Howard, and he did respond like a child, like a really idiotic child, but he did respond, and aggressively at that. The difference was, I think he saw the two of them as an actual threat. Like, they had a better apparatus around them. They were funnier than his show was at the time when this was all going on. And they were on the upswing, where he was kind of holding on to something. You know, when you're like the top person and you're just trying to maintain power, I think like in the art of war sort of situation, like what is the best way I'm going to maintain control and power? And I don't think going after ONA the same way I went after DiBella or any of these other people, I can't do it.
Yeah. And he can't do it because what they said was true.
Yeah, it was true. And they're just better at knocking him.
They're way better. So now they put out those two big rants and he doesn't really respond. So they're kind of, I think, at a point where they're toying with him, bringing up goofy shit that he does. That's also true.
Yeah.
So now we're getting into where they start bringing up how he talks about how that he invents everything. So this is starting.
Let's go to the phones and say hi to John. John, what's up?
Not much. Hey, who started WoW?
Opie and Anthony. Why?
Okay, because all these truck drivers up in New York and Boston and all that, they're all telling me that Stern started it.
Stern started? Wow.
That's right, Bob.
Yeah.
You find me one article that says Howard Stern started Whip 'Em Out Wednesday. Please.
I started Wow.
Please
wow.
find an article.
And as you pointed out, Anthony has just a caricature impression of Howard that's hilarious. That's
right.
Where the hoo-hoo and all of that comes from.
I mean, everybody who was upset with Stern, no matter what DJ, I think was correct in being obviously upset with him and voiced it. But they had, because of Anthony's ability to do this impression, it always brought a perfect punch of levity to their rants, where it was like, they're going so ham on something, and all of a sudden he would break out the hoo 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 or do an impression or say, "All right, Robin," or whatever he would say. And it would be perfect because it didn't make them sound insane and so emotional. It just made it amazing, perfect across
little,
the board.
Little punctuation.
Perfect.
Well, that says that.
Hey,
Howard,
I was getting ready to get rid of XM. And I heard a clip of you guys, and that's the whole reason I'm keeping it.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it, John.
But I was about to go over to Sirius, but
no,
you guys have kept me. But that's... hey, if there's one thing, can I ask y'all a favor?
Yeah.
If y'all, I know right now you probably don't want to do it, but if there's sometime you guys can go back and tell a story from your view of what happened, you know, the church thing or whatever. I don't know. I heard something about it on the news back when it happened, but I didn't really pay
attention. Hold that a million times.
You're kidding, right? That has to be a joke, no?
Absolutely has to be a joke.
But we can't get away from that story.
Even Stern doesn't claim to have started Wow. He would never say that.
He actually came up with one of the most ridiculous things ever. First of all, that's the beauty of the internet. Just Google Whip 'Em Out Wednesday, and you'll get articles going all the way back to, I think we started in like 96, 95, yeah. Probably 95.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 10 years ago we started this phenomenon that is Whip 'Em Out Wednesday. You see the Wow on the back of trucks, and you see the...
I said previously how popular Opie and Anthony were, especially in Buffalo, because they broadcasted here for a period of time. You could not drive down the street in Buffalo without seeing that bumper sticker. I mean, it was everywhere. And I said previously, once in a great while, I'll see an old car on the thruway with a Wow sticker, and it'll just bring me so much joy on my commute.
It's been a long time since I've seen that sticker, for sure.
Oh, I did, like, I want to say a month or so ago on the thruway, and I was like, is that a Wow sticker? I'm so thrilled right now.
The Wow stickers and the homemade Wow. And it's something we started in 95, and we basically told the guys to put Wow in their car, and it meant Whip 'Em Out Wednesday, and if the girls felt like it, they would flash you, and it works like crazy
there
all
you
the
go.
Time. Now, when it works great is going to a concert when you're stuck in traffic.
Right.
With all the young fillies.
The beaches, too.
And the beaches.
Summer when you're going down to Robert Moses or something. Oh, forget it. So such easy access when they pull their little bikini aside.
Oh, there.
Daytona 500 is coming up soon.
I don't know. If they're talking about the Robert Moses Parkway, that's like a park in Buffalo that's between Lewiston and like Niagara Falls area. Like it's, you're going north. So if you like, you go north from Buffalo, you're going to go on the Robert Moses Parkway. Cause I know I had a friend who lived in Lewiston and they have an art park there. So I'm sure Opie and Anthony did an event there, but they are correct where women just would whip their tits out at these events like it was a nude beach and stick shit up their pussy. I mean, I'd never seen anything like that. I mean, such drunk Tatianas just running around. And
at what events? At their events?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because it's before the Jersey Shore type of bar star culture, I feel like, really popped off. So it was kind of like a prelim to what was to come when you started getting these bar star sort of cultural reality shows, if you will.
Hmm. Yeah, like I said, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I'm just not in the loop, but they just didn't have that kind of presence out here. Like most of the people that I know that listen to them was because I got them into it. Like when I asked other people, I think I was 18 when I first heard them.
Yeah. So, I heard them earlier than that. But I do remember the culture they brought to their live events was definitely eye-opening. I probably should have been there.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was in their demographic and all my friends were, none of them had heard of them. But anyways,
yeah.
Keep going.
There you go. You're going to be stuck in some of that traffic. Make sure you got a wow in your car. You'll see.
NASCAR.
You'll see. It'll happen.
NASCAR.
So what did, so this wow thing's
become. To be honest, as a side note, not a lot of, I had one friend that listened to Howard, like not a lot of people out here even listen to him in my age group.
Oh, that's fascinating.
My stepdad did, and my stepbrother, who's probably like 6 years older than me, but like I didn't know too many people that listened to him.
I knew so many people. My whole, like a lot of people in my family did. OJ just died, and my family and I were texting each other like lines from the Robert Higgins farcical call, because my parents and my uncles were obsessed with that phone call, like look at here. And so we were like just doing quotes from that ridiculous Al Michaels lest you think this was a farcical call, you know, from Peter Jennings. Yeah. He's pretending to hide out in a news van. But anyways, it was so prevalent here. So my family loved the Howard Stern show. They didn't really get into Opie and Anthony, though, the way I did.
I mean, like I said, like the older people in
yes.
my family, no, but like people in my age group, I don't think they were huge on them. Like I said, I have one friend, but no one else really.
Yeah, I had people who liked both here. Definitely
becomes huge, mm-hmm. absolutely huge. And then Howard, because he has to claim that he invented pretty much breathing,
has to claim did everything. You know, it's the law of averages dictates that there's something out there that he didn't invent.
Right.
Something. The telephone, maybe. I don't know. Right. The powered flight. There's got to be something out there he didn't invent.
Ask him if he invented penicillin, and somehow, some way, he'll connect himself.
So I was reading this article as we're doing this. This is from Entertainment Tonight, and this article was written in March 7th of 1997. Okay, and just how Opie and Anthony hit on the hypocrisy of Stern. Listen to this paragraph at this end of this story, this interview of Howard. For now, though, he has other ideas. Quote, I still feel like I haven't gotten my due on radio. I still feel like I want to finish this Howard Stern network concept. I want it to be on in every country, in every city. More payback for the past injustice, perhaps, but also a way of staying underground in that bunker of a machine gun comedy where he can keep taking aim at big, bad showbiz world he's now undeniably a part of. Quote, it kills me when people say, you know, Rosie's nice or this one's nice. I say, shitheads. Don't you want anybody who speaks out, who's completely off the wall and tests the First Amendment? You get caught up in that Hollywood scene. You get fat and lazy. Your sponsors accept you. Your bosses accept you. But you're an angry young man. I don't care if you're 80. If you're angry young man inside, you will create great television, great radio, great media. Because being accepted is like being in a cocoon. It's so wonderful. Being in that room at Paramount where they kiss your ring, it's great. And if I ever got caught up in that moment and said, I love this, I'm basking in this, this is what I crave my whole life, I'm finished. I'll go out and make a Coneheads movie. End of article. Think about that right now.
He just told on himself.
He wants it. He wanted the cocoon. That's the best part is you can...
All he wants.
Now, if he didn't get that the cocoon of acceptance in Hollywood and the pink mafia protection of it all, if he didn't start sucking ass in doing the complete opposite of what he pretended he stood for, First Amendment, anti-censorship, in the bunker of machine gun comedy, whatever, he would still be making these points and saying what he was saying. But because he got in that cocoon, his tune changed immediately. He wanted in the cocoon.
The thing is, too, again, why ONA won over the common man was they weren't, when they said that they didn't want to deal with celebrities and shit, they fucking meant it. Like, there would be people that were about to come on the show. They'd be like, why are we having this guy on? Like, no one cares. And people remember when Andy leave. Dick was, remember when Andy Dick was late and they just fucking left and had him interviewed on an after show?
What was the director who was super famous that they waited for? That. Was it Francis Ford Coppola or was it somebody else? It was some
it
movie
was somebody
director.
Else. Yeah.
And they waited left. 40 minutes and they said, fuck it, we're leaving. And their guy got back to them and the network was so upset. The radio station was so upset. They're like, why are we waiting? We're not getting paid extra to sit here to wait for this person. We don't care. If it was that important for them to push this, then
they really didn't care. And you started to see that. Like, these guys really aren't about the establishment.
Remember when they had Paris Hilton on and she cried and like left within 2 seconds? It was like she didn't want to be asked any questions about any of the things that, of course, the Opie and Anthony audience would want to hear. So she got offended, was very, oh, that's hot. Yeah, I like that. Like, very minimal in her answers, probably hungover, my guess. But she went on there and they just basically were like, okay, if you're not going to play ball, then just go.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
All right.
To the invention of penicillin.
Penicillin. I had some moldy bread, Robin. We grew up very poor in Roosevelt. Moldy bread. I had an infection, and I thought I'd just eat the moldy bread. And the infection went away, Robin. So I invented penicillin. Ooh, all mine. Ooh, shut up. Jackass. Invented everything. People just used to stand, Robin. They would stand. And I decided one day I was going to, I'm a genius, Robin. I decided I was going to put one foot in front of the other. And then everyone copied. Oh, they call it walking now. But that was me. I called it sterning.
His ego is so huge and big. He has no idea how ridiculous he sounds now.
Now, they're correct in all of this. But I will say, in hindsight, in 2024, watching Opie give these free rants on the top of his whatever New York penthouse and have zero hint of irony of his self and how he sounds is quite disturbing, in my opinion. Like, I can't believe how far Opie has fallen and refuses to sort of take some inventory in his own actions and what role he had to play in any of his downfall and kind of not understand what his talents were to the show. I think if he understood it, everybody would appreciate his role in the show a fuck lot more. But because he also mythologizes his own abilities is why he is where he is.
Yeah, I mean, an NPD argument could be made for him. I'd be surprised if he didn't have it. That term gets thrown around a lot, but there's enough there and kind of everything that's been said about him. Maybe we could do that Greg Schell episode after all this, but
I don't know if it's narcissism. I mean, maybe like shades of it, but it is mixed in with deep insecurity that both Howard and he possess. And I think maybe Howard lands more, in my opinion, towards the narcissistic side. Opie is very insecure. And I don't know, because I saw how he related to different people or situations or kind of got emotional at different points on the show that I don't think that were real, that I felt genuine about. Like, he got emotional at when Patrice died. He got emotional during some 9/11 thing. He got emotional on different aspects of the show. I remember Jimmy, too, cried over when Oprah had what's-his-face on that film critic, and he couldn't talk anymore. And he started crying. Remember that? He had Roger Ebert on.
And no, they had to, like, remember that.
Oh my God, it was the craziest thing. But I think Opie's less narcissistic than Howard, but probably the same sort of insecure.
I would say if you even put Howard in an even more refined subcategory, it'd be vulnerable, covert, narcissistic personality.
Okay. Whereas versus
Opie, I definitely think he has NPD. And there's definitely a lot to support that. He just doesn't have the as much of an introverted or vulnerable nature as Howard has. Uh-huh. But there's definitely enough that's been said. I would even say he's a more straightforward example. Like, so, if someone were to really sit down and ask me, like well, a textbook. Yeah, I mean, it'd have to be more in depth, but I would say Opie's an even, because you have Anthony's accounts of things and Jimmy's accounts of things. So you're able to kind of, a lot of the stuff that we could speculate on with Howard can actually be confirmed by those two guys, because I don't think either of them have anything. While they're quirky and bizarre, there's no personality disorder. With Opie, I actually do think there is one.
Yeah,
And there's a lot of straightforward examples that you could give within his world, for sure. You know what?
I think because obviously you're more trained in NPD, and you were the foray for us to explore that personality disorder with Howard. I am so used to covering the aspects of NPD when it comes to Howard, that sometimes I feel like what you're saying now I'm resonating with it, because I don't necessarily think that his NPD is the same as Opie's, but it is NPD. It's a variation. There's different shades of NPD, which we've learned, because I do know that Robin has it, and it's different than Howard's. So. Mm-hmm. I think because we just discuss one thread of it so much at such great length, I sometimes can't recognize it, even if it's staring me in the face, because I'm so used to covering it just this one way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, maybe people can comment if they want us to do an Opie series on that.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. If you want us to do a Patreon on the NPD of the Opie and Anthony show, I'd be all down for that.
Yeah, there's, like I said, it's a little easier because there's more accounts, honest accounts. Like, everything with Howard is so hidden.
Well, you're not going to get a show of old employees, except for Stuttering John, who doesn't know that it's NPD, and other disaffected Stern people who barely give an account of the same retelling of every story. With Opie and Anthony, you actually had in real time people commenting on the behavior and giving really clear examples and rundowns, like you said.
Right. It's like, you know, there are crazy people out there that actually believe things.
Yeah.
And you cannot tell them different because they're insane. That's Howard. He's completely insane and believes everything comes from the center of the universe, and that center is Stern.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we were getting a lot of attention for Whip Him Out Wednesday. A lot of stories written about it.
And he don't like that.
Actually, a lot of bad stories written about it.
Yeah.
A lot of bad pieces on local TV stations. And then he claims that he did something with a bandana back when he was what? In Washington?
To this day, don't know what the hell he was talking about. Some kind of Rube Goldberg machine he had going with a bandana, a car antenna. Was there a day involved? I don't even know if breasts were involved.
Tie a bandana on your antenna, Robin, is what I told him.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I invented that.
What? What?
And then Frisbee dogs were ripping me off because they all had bandanas around their neck. And caught Frisbee.
What? I don't care.
Frisbee dog.
He's the biggest
and
ass.
Somehow that got turned into his version of WoW and how he invented it somewhere back in the 50s.
Yeah, whatever.
What a tool.
He really is a tool.
Yeah.
Jimmy, say something.
I'm completely agreeing with you and listening, but I wasn't around when he said that.
No.
Yeah. Right. He said that he's an idiot.
It's under a porch somewhere, I'm sure. What? What did Stern say?
Well, it was a Wednesday and he whipped it out, so
Careful, Jimmy. Careful, Jimmy.
It is true that Opie would try to get Jimmy involved in it, Jimmy just would stay out.
And in hindsight, I agree with it. Like, I think, you know, he's not getting the same financial paycheck that you're, he's not making the bank you're making. He doesn't know what's, you guys get fired every so often. I need to keep my nose clean.
Yeah. I can't say I fault them or
no.
Yeah, I wouldn't fault them for it.
Hey man, it's even worse than that. A day after you play something like the Mini Me, he's playing the Mini Me soundbite from Surreal Life. He's playing the reporter who falls out of the barrel of grapes.
Well, the thing with the sound clips, that's a little, you know, I would love to act like, yeah, hey, we did it first, and then everyone heard our show and decided they needed the Mini Me clip. If you're in radio doing this and you see like Mini Me doing what he did on Surreal Life, and you're a radio guy, you're immediately calling your people going, oh my God, get me that.
You don't think about who played it first. It's not like they made it. They didn't go into a studio and record it, you know, as their own. It's a sound clip.
Yeah, I would love to. I would
no credit at all.
I would love to jump on and say, yeah, that was our.
I like that they were at least had the humility to admit that sort of thing goes on within radio. The thing that Howard did, I thought, was great, was doing things like during, for example, the OJ trial, having Gilbert Gottfried go into some of the shittiest areas in New York City and start asking black people if he thought OJ was guilty or innocent in the Dracula Gottfried voice, in Dracula Gottfried makeup. I mean, that's unique and original, you know? If Opie and Anthony started having Jimmy dress up like Dracula and start asking questions about whatever crime's going on the streets of New York City, I'd say, yeah, you're totally copying him. But I think that it's good that they can recognize when things aren't, you know, that he's not copying. It's just something that happens.
Yeah, they're, again, I think that their level of honesty.
Yeah.
Is really what, again, served to hurt Howard more.
Right, because they were willing to admit when, no, that's not a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember how they would make fun of Mike Francesa all the time?
Yeah.
And they play those clips. And there was one episode where they were like, you know, if this guy just admitted that he fucked up, this would all stop. And what they said was totally correct. It's like, the second that you're just honest, people can't really go at you the same way.
It's the doubling, tripling, quadrupling down for all of these people that are their downfall. And that's a great example. I loved when they would just nonstop harp on him.
It was so great.
But you know what? I mean, a lot of radio shows are sent the same stuff. It's just how you use it and bring it into your program that makes it a little more unique, I guess.
Yeah,
but he's making it sound like he found it. He went out there and grasped it. That's what.
Oh no, that was the most obvious one ever. The Mini Me clip is the most obvious one ever. Every radio station in America should be playing that if they call themselves a creative radio program. It's so obvious how great that is. But it's the other ones that you find, you know, where you do work a little harder that no one else has, you know?
I got it.
Like this one. I love this one. That one goes on forever.
Of course it does.
No one else is playing that.
No.
No one is playing this.
Nothing works here. Uh-huh. The medications don't work.
What medication?
I hate this place. I've been here for 7 years.
7 years.
Hello, exactly.
Yeah, no one's playing those clips.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
You will be molested.
This is one of my favorites right here, and no one's ever going to play this one. I think this is audio of Mardi Gras when those undesirables were messing with Whitey. We got actual audio of Whitey, Anthony.
We do.
As they were getting harassed down there on Bourbon Street.
I'm scared of you. I'm scared.
I am scared of you, sir, and I am protecting myself. I am protecting myself. I am scared of you. Please call the police.
That's a great video clip.
Bob, it's like a male Karen.
It's, I was thinking, so this is from 05, and it's like, this is when high speed's been around for a while, and like video clips are coming out, and it's like everybody all saw the same collection of videos, you know. Now it's like every second there's 1,000 fucking viral videos. But like the one that they're talking about, the one with the grapes, I know you saw that back
I know I did. And you know what? A lot of these things, and I was talking to Fillmore about this e-bombs world. I used to go there every day. That was appointment part of my day, was to go log on to e-bombs world and check out the latest video things. And some of them I would watch over and over, like Aisha passing me by. He's like in the Mickey blanket. I mean, it was just so... in the cartoons. I just loved E-Bombs World. But you're right that everybody saw the same thing. This was when, you know, things just started collecting. And there wasn't so many where it was oversaturated. It was just, these were the things.
Yeah. My
the grapes.
My girlfriend at the time thought I was such a trash bag for going and watching those videos every day.
My parents, I could specifically remember them looking at me and my friends in our office in the computer room, and we're just laughing at, you know, Maya he, Maya ho, Maya ha ha, and it's just that fat guy on a couch doing with that expression. It's so stupid in hindsight, but my parents just watching us dopes laugh at that and thinking to themselves, oh God, this generation is going to be so fucked.
Yeah. All right.
What a tool that guy is.
Is that up on Foundry Music?
Yeah.
It is?
That's great. Guy's videotaping some guy. It's walking. It's a white guy. He's videotaping a black guy walking into a convenience store because he's scared of him. The guy came to return something, I guess, and he was under the impression.
He was harassing the clerk in some way. And
so the guy grabbed a video camera, and he's videotaping him. And the black guy's like, stop videotaping me. He goes, no, I'm scared of you, sir. I'm scared of you. I'm protecting myself.
Let's say hi to Steve in New York City. Steve, what's up?
Yeah, how's it going, Hope?
Hey, Steve.
You got a guy? What's your name? Just kidding.
Oh, you. Cut it out.
No, I'm a big fan, Norton. Opie, I seem to remember a day when you're on Night Times at BAB that Howard actually called into your show to compliment you and tell you that you were doing something different out there, and he was actually singing your praises. Unless, of course, that was actually Anthony calling in to screw with everybody. But I seem to remember that happening. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You never know. Well, there's also an audio clip of Howard praising how funny Anthony was on his program.
Oh, yes.
So.
That's when I was whoring myself out to anybody. Just put me on the radio, please, somebody.
Well, also, Anthony, since you're talking about yourself there.
I will say, at least Opie had the foresight in his nights or afternoons when he was solo. When Anthony came in for that OJ parody song, which was how they met, right? That's how they met. He invited him in to perform it live. So he had at least some sort of, I guess, inkling in the recess of his brain to say, I need a partner. And this person's quick-witted, fast, and we have good chemistry. So he brought him on again for something else, and then that's how it got rolling. But I'm surprised, because I don't think Howard, maybe it is similar, where it's like Howard knew he needed Robin, Anthony knew, or Opie knew he needed an Anthony.
No, I think Howard got stuck with Robin.
I mean, he needed her for the angle of the type of humor he was going to go with, because he needed a token to sit by and just approve it all.
See, I didn't even know that's how they started. I didn't even know.
Opie and Anthony?
Yeah.
That's how they started. That's he came in for a parody for the, I forgot what it was called, the song parody title, but he went in with his brother, Anthony, because they were in like a band on the side or whatever. And Anthony was just throwing everything against the wall to make himself, you know, seem really amiable and funny and witty. And it worked.
Your grease man is so spot on. It's ridiculous. You must have listened to that guy constantly. I mean, I did too, because I just thought he was just a ridiculous character, and I couldn't stop listening to him when he was on in New York. But
you know what it is?
Your impression is so right on that. I mean, it's.
Thank you, sir. You know what it was about the grease man, though? The grease man, it was one of those things you had to listen for a long period of time because his stories went on and on, and you were waiting for him to end, and they didn't.
He would take that lawyer joke we just told and make it into a 20-minute
story. Make it into a 20-minute story. It would go on and on, and I'm listening just laughing at his voice.
Yeah,
and it would just go on and on, and then it would end with, "We'll be back with more of the Grease Man show in a moment."
Yeah,
and
you had to add in 10 minutes of waddle doodles and waddle
doodle. And like, I was slinging lead.
Yes.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
He would take the dopiest, like, three-part joke and turn it into a 20-minute tirade on something.
There I was. It's like me doing Anthony's impression.
Yes, Grease Minnelli.
Can I do
I was on the SWAT team in D.C. In slinging lead. Lots of gunfire in the streets.
What was the other one about his drinks? The
bone dry.
Bone dry.
I need a bone dry martini. Waddle doodle.
What? Waddle doodle?
I'm sitting there fascinated just looking at the radio.
Anthony has pitch perfect impressions. It's not just of Howard. He does it of other radio hosts and the Sopranos. I mean, every possible character you could think of. I don't know how he does it, but he's really good.
He does these impressions. I swear you think it was a real thing. Remember that always for that clip? Yeah, he's good at capturing the essence of it. It was funny because they always, like, the thing with them is you felt like you were in on, like, an inside joke. I was just thinking about when they would make fun of Scott Shannon.
I forgot about that.
Years later, he wound up calling in. And, like, I think it was when Anthony was off the show. I can't even remember, but I remember them asking, they're like, "Did you know about the Jock Towers and everything?" He's like, "Fuck." He's like, "We all knew about, like,
it's
every
so
year we knew that shit was going to happen." And it was like, you felt like you were a part of it, you know?
I know. I loved when they did it to our local radio station, which was the, you know, number one local FM radio station, Nicholas Pikulis and Janet Snyder. It just made my year. I was so thrilled about it. I was like, yes, they're doing
Nicholas,
it. I was so Nicholas? Happy.
What was it?
His name was Nicholas Pikulis and Janet Snyder. Kiss 98.5. It's terrible. Anyway, I love how he would also, Anthony would use his impressions in bits in an ironic way where it was like they would be talking about whatever in current events. And all of a sudden he would just do an impression of somebody and interject that character into the bit. Like, you could be talking about whatever is going on in the news or some sort of fucking story. And he'd just start doing Tony Soprano as Tony Soprano talking about the news story or Corrado or whatever. Yeah. I mean, he was just fucking awesome at that.
He's fast. He was
so fast.
Fast. Him and Jimmy were super fast.
The Mel Gibson tapes might be some of my favorite radio ever.
I listen to that every year.
Me too.
Every year, at least at some point, I go through all the Mel Gibson tapes, them listening to it.
Okay,
I go
do you
through
want to
that
know how
once a year, every year.
I know I'm marrying the right person is I showed this to Rick, and I almost use this as a litmus test to my personality, but also as if you don't find this funny and genuinely enjoy this, I can't be with you. Like, I cannot be with somebody that does not find this enjoyable. And we were crying, laughing. And once in a great while, he'll say to me, if we got nothing to watch and we have, you know, YouTube app up, he'll be like, let's do the Mel Gibson tapes. And I'm like, yes, let's do them.
Once a year. And I'll tell someone, you know, everybody's got their like online constant chats with different right. groups. I'll tell my group I'm due for that Mel every single year. I don't miss it. Ever.
I get the same way. That's so funny. All right, let's go.
It was fun to listen to driving around Long Island.
He
did pretty well in afternoon. No, he did well in afternoon drive for a while in New York City. He did okay.
He was on K-Rock for a little while, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
How he was all mad at that. Why are you hiring these people that I can't stand to put on my station?
Howard hated whenever station? The company hired anyone else that had some kind of talent.
Tom, why is this man on my station?
That's what it came down to. He hated anyone else that had talent.
Yeah.
Anyone else that anyone would listen to.
So
yeah.
Then he would, you know, do everything in his power to make sure that person did not have a.
And it's true, because look at what he did with Bubba the Love Sponge. He was absolutely awful to him until he brought him into his orbit. And then all of that stuff, I guess, was shoved under the rug. I mean, he had to have them under his control. And the problem was, Opie and Anthony weren't under Howard's control.
But, you know, it was funny when Bubba started to go at ONA over that. They kept playing the clip of Howard trashing.
Oh, Bubba. Yeah. That was some great radio.
Saying he didn't want to be in an industry with them. They're like, yeah, this is your fucking boss, dude.
Oh, and Bubba was so persistent and so matter of fact, so hyperbolic about it. And it just made him look like the biggest fucking hypocrite in the entire world.
That Bubba guy was such a fucking lame. His whole world, whenever that guy is, I guess it was on later, Brent, he was actually on the show. Was that the guy's
name? Yes, Brent. Yeah.
That guy was such a fucking lame. And so was Bubba. That shit's so fucking stupid.
It's weird that they were both sexual deviants in a way. You know, like him getting a wife and then having Hogan fuck his wife, and then Brent allowing threesomes when he's out of town and having his wife get plowed by somebody, and that's considered okay and acceptable. I mean, the whole thing was just cuck behavior, just prime cuck behavior that I have zero respect for. You could say that, oh, this is the truth and I'm comfortable with it. If you're comfortable with that as a man, you're disgusting, in my opinion. Like, I have no respect for you whatsoever, or anything you have to say.
Just those guys. That whole shit was so fucking lame. At least, like, again, too, with, like, the fringe guys, like Benson with ONA, like, that guy's funny. You know, all the fringe Howard stuff wasn't fucking funny at all. The guys,
it was very rare.
Well, I'm saying like the radio, like the people that were adjacent that he plugged, like Blake loves Bubba the Love Sponge. That stuff was fucking corny.
It was so corny.
A chance.
Yep.
He tried his best with us, but somehow we squeaked through.
Yeah.
Somehow we squeaked through. Games he played behind the scenes, yelling and screaming. They wanted to throw us on K-Rock when we first moved to New York, but Howard wouldn't have of it.
Nope.
And this was before we ever had bad blood or anything.
Yeah.
Oof.
You know, and that was the logical move.
We were all ready to go to K-Rock.
Was to have us in afternoons, him in mornings, and then you got a great radio station instead of a radio station.
And then freeze frame this and think about what he bitched about when it came to Ellen fucking with his bag. If he couldn't get on American Idol as a judge, right? Like, what a fucking hypocrite. You're literally blocking somebody from your own industry and then claiming at the same time you're all for everybody speaking truth and truth to power and First Amendment, yada, 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 ranting on about Ellen blocking your bag to get this amazing judgeship job at American Idol. What a crock of shit.
Yeah, I mean, more of just the, again, like, I'm all for if you view someone as competition, you know, I'm for putting yourself in an advantage, but you can't be out there saying no one's competition and everyone's a mini me, because obviously you don't feel that way because you had them blocked or whatever you did behind the scenes. So you clearly know that you're not the best in the game.
There's a difference between competition, where it's two radio personalities, or in this case, a partnership, and Howard pretending that Robin's a fair partner. But there's a difference between them clashing and competing in a fair space where it's a free market of ideas and insults being thrown, versus this motherfucker has every advantage and is cutting them at their knees behind the scenes. I mean, that's not like a competition.
He looks like the guy that he's claiming to fight.
Which you is have all even the power for years. For years.
For years, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Station that has one good day part.
Stupid Kingston gave us the jackets and everything. We were already over there. We had decided and we had been accepted by K-Rock.
Dude,
we weren't going to be on at NEW. We were going to be afternoons at K-Rock.
Let's not forget. Yeah, we had the choice. Yep. We came to New York. And just, oh, my God. It's a stupid story because our stupid agent, super agent Bob Eatman, who's...
Gee.
Well, I remember. I mean, we blow ourselves up in Boston with the mayor's prank, right?
Yeah.
Now we have three job opportunities. Anthony and I are from New York. I was born in Queens. Where were you born?
Flushing, Queens.
Queens, and then lived most of our lives on Long Island until I started doing radio. So we had a chance to get back on New York radio.
Dream come true.
And our stupid agent thought the best move for us was to move to Atlanta and do mornings.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, man.
He didn't quite understand us back then.
Well, he doesn't understand the programming. See, Bob Eatman is what I call less of an alpha than Buchwald. So I am guessing that he knew, the agent probably knew he could make a New York deal work, but because of the fight Howard was putting up to getting them over to New York, I think probably he just kind of immediately bent the knee to that pressure and was like, okay, we'll just put them in Atlanta. They didn't accept that. But again, you can just see how Bob Eatman operated versus Don Buchwald.
Did they actually go to Atlanta?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't know about that chapter.
No.
Side of what we do.
No.
He's brilliant when it comes to, you know, nickel and diming people to death and getting a good contract for us. But he's got to shut the fuck up as far as the programming of the show goes. Because I was reminded of that because of last week's tirade about he wanted us to do a clean show so one stupid guy in Philly could go, hey, wait, they do a really good clean show. I'll put them on my commercial station. And then we go back to doing regular radio, and then there's immediately a problem.
They freak out.
Right.
I'd rather be honest up front.
The logic in that stupid head of his when it comes to programming a radio.
And where is Howard, by the way, for all of his First Amendment outrage arguments when it comes to censoring other radio DJs who are doing controversial radio, you know, parallel thinking to something that Howard does, analogous to something Howard does? Why wouldn't you be defending your own class of entertainment? Did you ever fucking once hear him say anything to program directors or syndication deals being shut down? Did he ever say this is bullshit to any of this for any of people in his field? No, he didn't.
That's what, again, makes us all look worse. You know, like,
terrible.
Yeah.
Your show amazes me.
Yeah.
And I forgot that when we first met him, his big move was, no, guys, you really need to move to Atlanta. Atlanta.
Yeah.
We had two radio stations right here in New York that wanted us. Our families are right down the road.
Both the same company. It was Infinity, you know, K-Rock and WNEW. And we had checked out both. It was either going to the morgue
the Wax Museum that was WNEW, classic rock, classic jocks, or going over to K-Rock, known, you know, the whole country over. Cool station to be at,
playing
cool music.
Playing the same music we were playing in Boston.
Playing in Boston. So what the hell? We, of course, we chose to go to K-Rock. And we made our decision, and we were ready to go.
I mean, although obviously the agent is a fucking simp who is just trying to please whatever in this situation, could you imagine Opie and Anthony, especially at the time in Atlanta, which was, by the way, the dawn of radio hip hop sort of industry, which was great for Black culture and amazing what sort of entertainment came out of that, whether it be record producers, record companies, recording industries, and their own sort of niche in radio. How would the fuck would Opie and Anthony fit in that?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I would, if that era happened, I would want to know, because especially during this era, like, just thinking about Georgia, I just don't see them being like, yeah, I don't see them being a fit down there at all, just because you have the South, you have a whole different culture, you have a more conservative culture for sure.
Especially at that time.
Yeah, definitely at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that lasted for about a day, and then we got the phone call. No, sorry, you're not wanted here.
Yeah, they told us to choose between the two, so we said, yeah, K-Rock.
Yeah.
And then we're, you know, everyone was celebrating. I remember Kingston, before he became the biggest wimp in the business.
Yeah.
Actually, he got the phone call at dinner and started jumping up and down cheering.
Yeah.
Like, he just got the first round draft pick. It was like, yep, an NBA draft or something.
It was.
And he was jumping up and down.
I remember the ratings would have been over there with Howard in the morning and us in afternoons.
He was losing his mind. And then all of a sudden, 24 hours go by and no one's calling us anymore.
Yeah. What happened?
What happened? And then all of a sudden, oh, well, they decided to pass on you.
Oh,
yeah.
No, right, no, what happened? Right. Howard found out that we picked his station.
I want them on my station.
And he caused, you know, he threw another hissy fit to, yep, Mel.
What?
How do you do?
And so then they threw us on, you know, NEW. We didn't know at the time. Maybe. It was just going to be an awful experience for us.
What an Imus move, according to him, which I don't know how much of that is true or not true. I'm assuming, yeah, now in hindsight, yeah, I question every narrative he's ever fucking spun. And Imus isn't here to tell any of it. So who knows? But this is exactly what happened to him in his narrative.
In his narrative, I don't believe Imus did half the fucking shit he said. I believe Imus was like, who the fuck is this little prick talking about me? Shut this guy the fuck up, which he should have said. Like,
Imus, too, at the time, think about it, was an alcoholic cokehead wandering into the station. Who knew what kind of personality you were going to get? But he was a consistent person who showed up for his job and had a popular show. I don't think that, I just can't believe listening to this, that Howard would risk his reputation and risk every fucking narrative, including that science fiction movie, as Anthony properly stated, to do shit like this. But he did. He did.
Oh, I know he did. He's total fucking beta.
Ugh.
Baby.
And then, yeah, we did great over there.
Yeah. A great run until we screwed it up.
But another hissy fit behind the scenes from Howard.
Yep.
So I did want to say, I do remember when Opie and Anthony got suspended for the Condoleezza Rice comments with the homeless person. Howard, I won't say defended, but because he was such a thorn in the George Bush era censorship, or at least pretended to be at the time, and it would look really bad if that administration who was suspending them, you know, pressuring the radio station to suspend them for this sort of thing, considering everything he had done in his career. He did sort of say, like, I'm not for censorship, I'm not for suspending them for this. Like, he did say that. But it wasn't like a full-throated defense. It wasn't like I'm going to go to bat for these people. I'm going to call somebody. I'm going to the kind of things that he would do for what he wanted, rally the troops, supposedly, you know, the way he would do in his own life. He didn't do that for them whatsoever. It was a fucking throwaway.
You ever hear this story when Howard was walking around and he thought he heard a gunshot and he locked his kid out of the car?
Yeah, we Fillmore and I talk about that a lot. It's the potty story, and it was a fan.
That's all you need to know about this dude.
It wasn't a gunshot. He heard a fan say, "Howard, Howard," and they were in an area that he didn't trust because it had black people in it. And of course, Howard's uncomfortable with minorities, even though he pretends that he's super woke. Yeah, okay. That's two stories. No, there was no gunshot whatsoever.
Somebody just said Howard,
he jumped into a limo and locked his kids and everybody else outside of the limo. And the gunshot one was when he was walking to the radio station. And I guess some sort of, I don't know, delusional fan or whatever had a gun or something, and Grillo saved the day. I forgot the machinations of that story, but you're combining them. I just can't believe what a pussy he is. He was never comfortable with minorities.
Locked his kid out of the limo. Hid in the limo. What a fucking rat. All right. I don't know what this is.
What a rat. This says
wants ONA to die.
Oh, good.
All right. Here we go.
Awesome. We're really getting under Howard's skin today. Sorry.
Oh, really?
The ADD's kicking in really bad today.
Opie.
Yeah, someone started to get through to Stern this morning about his XM commercial that we play. And call on Howard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
people in on what this is?
You can explain this one, because this is good.
Well, if I recall correctly, so Howard hasn't fully transitioned over to satellite, right?
Well, he was playing both companies. He wanted to get what's the best deal. And as if everybody recalls, but if you don't, I'll remind you, XM had more listenership by millions. SiriusXM was the fledgling startup for satellite radio. Essentially, they only had not even close to the same amount of numbers. So Howard was playing both sides before he officially signed with what Opie Anthony called the little doggy company.
So if I remember correctly, savage motherfuckers, they basically took his voice and spliced together a commercial for XM, right?
Oh, it's better than that. Because he cut commercials for XM while he was brokering a contract with XM, because he was going to sign to XM, Bob. Mm. And so they had him do promos of XM. And when he, I guess, fucked them over for the $500,000 deal that, or whatever they paid him for that initial contract, and gave them a fucking, they gave them him the world to come over. Okay. They kept the audio of him cutting commercials for XM when he thought he was going to sign to that company. And whoever ran XM, whoever was involved in the production, I don't know, the higher ups, gave it to Opie and Anthony to use.
And they ran them like all the fucking time, right?
And it
like,
confused the listeners, and it aggravated him to no end. This pissed him off so bad.
This is the beginning of trolling.
So great.
Show mentioned the live read you guys play on him. A call on Howard's show mentioned the live read you guys play of him promoting XM. Howard dumped out of the call, hung up on the caller, and said you guys should die. He seemed upset and was distracted. I sent Steve the clip.
Get it.
Here we go. This is how we work now.
Howard, one more thing, and I'll let you go.
I was pleased to see that. It wasn't a beautiful ad. I don't know who their copy department is, but it was. It got the job done.
Probably just, you know, rushed in.
Howard, one more thing.
Yes, sir.
I heard, I was listening to the other satellite company. My friend has the XM.
Right.
And, you know, those two doing a commercial.
Who cares? Let them die. Let them die. That's it. We don't care. I bleep that off and I just let them die. That's all.
You know, the art of, like, bantering, right? The art of bants. Like, you got to come back with something funny. If you just come back with let them die, like, you lost, you know, like you've lost that exchange. He should have let the thing play out and then taken shots at, like, who knows, their listenership, anything.
I equate it to when politicians start comparing everybody to Hitler. It's like, if we're doing that, you're losing. You're losing. If you think the hyperbole of comparing people to Hitler is winning the argument, you've lost. And I just think him saying, cutting out of that call, by the way, so quick.
Dumping out, huh?
Can't handle it, huh, Howard?
Can't take it.
Oops. Yeah, he doesn't care, all right.
Yeah, come on. All comers. Come on. I'll take you on.
Oh, dump out of that. I don't even want to acknowledge. Let him die.
I did hear, because we do have a lot of people that are, you know, friendly with us still at the old company.
Uh-huh.
And it's driving Howard nuts that we have a commercial of him doing, you know, an XM read. And, you know, the company's not going to help him at this point. In the old days, they would shut us up and make us stop playing the ad. But they don't care. So we're allowed to keep playing it, and Howard is just fuming. And
this was like the one year they got to just fucking pound on this guy with no repercussion.
It makes me so sad that they overpaid him so much that the companies had to merge for financial issues and just the entire, because you're right. And we said this in the previous episode, this was the one unleashed year that is so sacred in my head.
I mean, to give everybody context, like, this supercut is from 1999 to 2014. Like, this is 15 years. But a bulk of what we play to this point is just in, it's just in basically a year span.
And exactly. And then when they moved over to XM in the building, the treatment, they started getting shit immediately. So this was it.
Losing his mind, but there's nothing he can do about it. And obviously that caller got through to talk about it and see what Howard thought about the whole thing. But Howard decided to dump out and say that we should die and that he doesn't care.
He doesn't want any confusion is what it is. He's, you know, he's a little nervous about the move, and he doesn't want confusion with anybody where he's going to end up. And although that commercial spot does is confuse people. They tell their friends that don't have satellite. Oh, yeah, I heard, you know, somebody's friend, somebody has XM, their friend is a Howard fan, and they go, yeah, Howard's going to sell it. Yeah, I heard on XM. I heard the commercial. Because believe me, that stuff happens. People get confused.
Plus, Opie and Anthony had this really unique deal where they were allowed to broadcast on XM and then do the walkover and do regular radio.
So they could
broadcast this stuff to people who don't have XM, and these people would, wherever they're doing, whatever, driving in their car and hear Howard Stern hear Howard Stern cutting commercials for XM, you would think he's at XM.
I used to, they were actually a more powerful marketing, because I used to drive and I would listen to Opie and Anthony during this time. And then while I was at, I would get to work early And then I would listen to them over the internet through the regular radio, but then they would convert over to XM. And that's when I really actually wanted to get an XM because like they had that transition where it was like, I want to keep listening to this.
I know.
They were the innovators of all of this. Like they were the first guys to do it. They were the first. Like, Howard cannot say that he was the first guy to come into this world.
Right.
The uncensored world.
And not even in the first popular space. XM, like I said, was more popular than Sirius. And I just remember exactly like how you said, I would be listening to the FM station and wanting to get, I want to hear the rest of the show. It just, it was like, and I was excited at the thought that Howard was possibly going to XM. Because then I could just have one satellite thing, and he didn't. So I unfortunately made the decision to get all the Sirius hookups, which was such a fucking awful decision. And
yeah, both my stepdad and stepbrother did that, but I didn't do that.
Excuse. So they buy XM, and that's God Howard livid, just livid,
and the company is livid.
Yep,
but there's nothing they could do about it.
Of course,
radio. This is what's getting them really pissed off this morning.
If you're planning a road trip this weekend, it's time to take XM satellite radio along for the ride. XM gives you 100% commercial-free music. It's the ultimate playlist with channels for album rock, alternative, heavy metal, hip hop, unsigned bands, blues, jazz. There's an XM channel for everyone in the family, including the biggest names in news, sports, talk, and comedy. All in digital quality sound for less than $10 a month. No wonder it's the most listened to satellite radio service. The XM Roadie from Delphi can turn any radio into it.
Could you imagine having this? This is like having a fucking sound clip of your ex saying how you're hotter than...
Like... It's being signed to what the fuck, West Coast. What was his name? It's being signed to Suge Knight. And what was that record label?
Death Row.
It's being signed to Death Row, but you cut a bunch of commercials for Bad Boy.
Like, no shit.
Could you fucking imagine how much they would put that in the beginning or the middle, or drops in every single fucking song. If they had Tupac rapping about
Ultimate Troll, rapping about Bad Boy.
I mean, it's unbelievable that this existed. I just think no wonder they kept doing it.
It's the smallest satellite radio ever, so it looks great on your dashboard. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a free home kit, so you can connect XM to any home stereo. XM makes a great graduation or Father's Day gift. Check it out at electronic stores, including Best Buy and Circuit City. Beyond AM, beyond FM, it's XM satellite radio.
Ah, thank you, Howard. And once again from this morning.
Howard, one more thing, and I'll let you go.
I was pleased to see that. It wasn't a beautiful ad. I don't know who their copy department is, but it got the job done.
Probably just, you know, rushed in.
Howard, one more thing.
Yes, sir.
I heard, I was listening to the other satellite company. My friend has the XM.
Right.
And, you know, those two doing a commercial.
Who cares?
He dumped out.
Let him die. That's it. We don't care.
Salt
that out and I just let him die. That's all.
You know what? If he was smart,
you don't care. We don't.
If he was smart, Bob, he would have said, "Yeah, that company entertained me coming over. I was looking at both companies, and you know what? I decided that this burgeoning satellite company had better technology, had better capability. Make something up, you dope."
That's the art of bantering. That's what I'm saying. When you take it to, I'll fuck your dead daddy or whatever he was saying to Mancow, I was like, dude, you lost this already. Like, you took this to like a not funny, like, yeah, you could have fucking lied. You have to come back with something. Like, you just
politician. Like, what are you doing? You could have easily said, you know what? I'm so glad they keep playing this because it makes me more it affirms my decision to going to this company, because even though I cut that, when I looked at the nuts and bolts of this other company, I really believed in this one that much more. I believed in it so much more that I almost went to the other one. Like, you say something, but no, he dipped out and said, die.
I want them to die. What a lame, fucking lame.
Fucking lame.
Armit looking rat fucking fair.
Die. Yeah.
We don't care.
You really don't care. Huh,
I don't care.
You really don't
Again,
care.
He doesn't care.
I don't care. I don't care.
Oh, and then they just parlay it right into their whole narrative. Of when they point out that anytime anybody says they care a lot. Oh, and they have a whole fucking sound clip for it.
Oh, I loved it, because Opie and Anthony would never let that slide. They know you care, and they never let it go. They were like the jaws of life on your career and everything you said. If you say you don't care and they know you care, you're never getting away with it on that show.
Well, their whole point was, anytime you say I don't care, you care a lot. So again, if you're not even gonna like respond to what they're saying, then they get to control the entire narrative, and that's exactly what they're doing right now.
Like, even if he lied about why he went to Sirius, okay, and he did the best politician answer he could to that caller. Opie and Anthony could respond to it, but it wouldn't get as much traction as that reaction right there of I don't care, dip out, die.
Yeah, it's like it's an admission of defeat.
Oh, totally.
It's where your actions speak a lot more.
100%.
Go over, I don't care. Boom, boom, boom. I don't care. I don't care. He doesn't care. I don't care.
Tell him, Fred.
I'm happy, go lucky. Women call me pluck, pluck, plucky. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. He doesn't care.
It just keeps going on and on.
Oh my God, it's not funny anymore. I don't care.
The best part is when he goes zoom, 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 boom, 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 boom.
What else happened during break?
All right, that's the end of it.
Well, guys, this is going to be it for us for this part of the saga. I wish we could go longer, but both of our lives demand attention from us. So, unfortunately, this is the end of this part, but don't worry. We're going to come back with more, and we love doing this.
Yeah, and let us know if you guys want us to do an MPD breakdown on Opie. And we're going to keep the supercut going. We got quite a lot left. So you guys like this one.
We have plenty. Plenty. Look at this. Look at how long this is.
All right. I'll see you guys later.
Bye.
He's a phony Italian, Paul.
Who's a phony Italian?
Yeah, phony.
Why, you're Napolitano?
I'm Napolitano.
Eh, sure. You don't understand Sicilian.
I'm no Villa.
Oh, no, I'm Villa.
Sì, ma te la mangiata, Luca. 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 Sì,